Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
At my mic check on Twitter. I love that Twitter handle. Michael, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm good right now, man. I'm still getting around, still breathing, still surviving. So the draft is behind us. And, I could take a little bit of a deep breath now.
Hey, how surprised are you that the Grizz didn't trade that pick?
I am surprised. You know, I know there were a couple deals on the table, and they had, you know, made a trade in 13 of the last 17 draft nights that they've done, and including five straight. So not all of them have been big time, you know, lottery, you know, lottery area trades, but they've usually made some kind of move here or there. But this tells me that, you know, that they believe what they're saying as well is, you know, they got two really, really good players, two really, you know, solid commodities and, you know, high ceiling guys that yeah. they believe in and that fit. So, you know, they stuck with it, and we're going to see what they roll out next week when they get ready to training camp for summer league.
You know, Jaren Jackson Jr., big time athlete, shot blocker. I saw this morning on Get Up on ESPN. Jay Williams said, "quote He is a project." They don't view him that way, do they?
I mean, you know, you hear different terms. I mean, they're all code words, upsides, high ceiling, you know, potential. You know, when you hear project, that sounds a little more, you know, rough around the edges. But by no means is this guy anywhere near what he's going to be in the next 2-3 years of his NBA development. I mean, his body is still filling out. You know, the kid won't be 19 until training camp. I mean, September, you know what I mean? So it's one of those deals where, you know, at his age and at his stage with the way his body is, you know, his hands are massive. He had the biggest hands in the draft. And so when you look at that and him still filling out his frame, he hadn't gone through a real weight development program yet. So when you talk about that plus the skill side, yeah, he still is a project, but, you know, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to build into when you talk about what the raw materials that he brings to the table.
Well, and you said, you know, you talked about his age. He's the youngest American player in the draft. And what? Kind of heavy foul issues, I guess, at times. Only played about 22 minutes per game in college. Yeah. Just really interesting in a lot of ways, especially when you look at, I guess, other bigs and expiring contracts on the roster coming up and kind of where he fits into things.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that he definitely has to work on. You know, the 21 minutes, 22 minutes, you know, they're about, you know, 18, 19 minutes lower in some regards than some of the other lottery picks that went out. You know, when you talk about, you know, a guy like you know, the guys at Duke, Wendell Carter and, you know, and Marvin Bagley, I mean, they were almost at 40 minutes a game playing all game. I think part of that was Michigan State had a real deep system. They had five double figure scores. So, you know, when you look at where you know, where Jaren Jackson fit in, he wasn't, you know, a go to guy by any stretch. I mean, he was, you know, there were three other guys on that team that the offense was dictated to and predicated to. He was more of a relief option and a stretch guy. But he has to stay on the floor because he did foul a lot. His block rate is very, very high, but so is his foul rate. And when you talk about, you know, grown men and NBA players with unique and specialized skill sets that he's going to have to, you know, be able to defend, he's got to, you know, get those fouls down. So, you know, that's going to be a challenge for him. I think that's his first challenge, footwork, timing, spacing, and knowing where to be and when to be. And he's just going to build from there. But there's certainly some things he has to work on.
Your one of your tweets last night, Grizzlies preparing to wage a defensive war on 2018 NBA basketball. two good defenders. What does that say? What message maybe does that send? What does that tell us?
Well, both of those guys were introduced today at FedEx Forum. I just actually left the arena, you know, from their press conferences. And you know, where the NBA is trending in another way, Memphis has always been sort of unique. It's a unique town. It's a funky river town. And they do things against the grain here. The attitudes are a little bit different. They roll up their sleeves. They like street fights. And you know, the grit and grind era was all about that. And, you know, just when the previous coaching staff under David Fizdale and all of those guys tried to trend away from the grit and grind and try to retrofit it to today's NBA, what the Grizzlies did last night was go way back. They got into a time machine and went back in terms of their style. But these are the top two defensive players in the draft, two guys that love to block shots and get steals and force turnovers. And, you know, they're going to use that to try to create easy baskets, transition baskets, and those kind of things. So that's what it means. It's a style of play, but it's also a mentality based on what Javon Carter at West Virginia. You know, he's a two-time Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, the National Defensive Player of the Year this year, and also, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. in terms of being one of the Big 10's best freshmen ever in terms of defensive statistics.
Mike Wallace with us at My Mic Check on Twitter. Mike, big picture, what are the Grizzlies' plans with Gasol? He has 1 year left. Conley's got 2 years left. What's the direction of this roster, do you think?
You know, I think what they did last night, too, you know, the mission was to get back into the playoffs after going seven straight years and then falling to 22-60 last year.
Right.
Injuries, you know, derailed that season and some chaos and coaching change. The mission is to get back to the playoffs next year, be a 45-50 win team if you can, and just keep it going while Mark and Mike are still sort of in their prime. They certainly are still within that max salary window. But having said that, this was your opportunity because, again, the Grizzlies didn't have a first-round pick last year, and they probably won't have one next year. So they had to strike on this guy as being a foundational piece that can project out, you know, for the next 5 to 10 years as they transition from the, you know, grit and grind era, the Mark and Mike era, into a new era. So that's why this was so important for them to do that. You know, Mark's going to have to make a decision. I mean, this team is young. You know, I can imagine he looked at this draft and said, hey, these pieces – you know, an 18-year-old kid coming in is not necessarily what's going to help me get, you know, past the first round next year. So he's on a different window. So they're going to have to do some moves in free agency and then in trades in the next couple of weeks to try to land some scoring and some veteran help so he can be a little bit more encouraged when he comes into training camp and feels like he has enough to really get back to competing at a high level in the West.
Anything in the pipeline, free agency, trade-wise, anything you feel like you've got a bead on, maybe something that might be cooking?
Yeah, I mean, June 22nd now. So you're 8 days out, basically, from the start of free agency in a week. And, you know, the Grizzlies have made no secrets about what they're going to be pursuing. They're looking at a small forward, shooting guard type guy. They hope to bring, you know, want to consider bringing back Tyreke Evans at that position. There are going to be some free agents out there, whether it's Will Barton, a guy that played here at Memphis. You know, you have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was at Georgia. Then he went, obviously, to Detroit and was with the Lakers this past year. You know, Trevor Ariza is a guy that, you know, is going to be a free agent there, too. So they have to make some decisions, you know, in terms of what kind of wing support they want to bring in with that $8.6 million mid-level exception starting salary. So we'll see. The offers will go out, and we'll see what the NBA market dictates in terms of where the salaries are going to be slotted and who's worth what versus who's not worth that. And then they'll make their decisions, and the players will make their decisions as well.
Well, we appreciate the time, Michael. Really interesting stuff as we continue to follow what the Grizzlies are doing. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, any time, and I definitely appreciate it. And that Hattie B's is doing pretty well here in Memphis, too. So I think
Not surprising.
Hattie B's trade, yeah. So the fried chicken industry is doing well over here in Memphis. So thanks for the contribution, Matt.
That's awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you, Michael.
All right.
At My Mic Check.